Okay, good evening, everyone. We're starting the first mitzvah. We just last week's parsha was Bereishis. So we'll do the mitzvah approval. Okay. So the pasuk says, so it said, a chinuch brings down. So we're now doing the mitzvah, first mitzvah. The chinuch brings down. The pasuk says, Vayivorach Hashem Elokim, Vayom Elokim, Pruvu. Hashem says that it should be Pruvu. It should be fruitful and multiply. So there's the mitzvah of Pruvu. And this mitzvah was applied to the Goyim until Tumat Torah, until the time the Torah was given, that the Goyim were also obligated to get married, to have a family. But it was removed from them, the obligation was removed from them at Sinai. The obligation to go ahead and have children for the Goyim, it's no more, there were certain mitzvahs that were removed from them at Sinai. This is a mitzvah that they don't have to, they're not obligated to go ahead, for sure on a biblical level, they're not obligated to have children. The question would be, you know, what's the idea of people getting married, which is the will of Hashem, which the Pasuk says in Yeshaya that Hashem created the world, the world should be populated. So would we say that would create any sort of obligation for Goyim?
When were mitzvahs commanded before our Sinai?
So let's say this mitzvah of approval was commanded for our Sinai before Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. Hashem says to Adam. Now we have the six mitzvahs that were commanded to Adam. We call it Zion Mitzvah named Noach because there was an extra mitzvah that was given to Noach of Evin Menachai, that they can't eat Evin Menachai. So even though technically, even though Puvu was also given, but it didn't last as a mitzvah, so we don't count that as the mitzvahs. If he had children when he was a guy,
the first time
he uses for. He said, Ben brings out, the Shulchan says what I was suggesting, that a Gentile, even though they're not commanded anymore to have children, but they have, he said, like an obligation to populate the world. Because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the world to be populated. Yes, Mr. Kleiner. Mr. Kleiner, you were saying something? You were you saying something or no?
The first time it was used with reference to the animals.
Okay. But animals don't really have obligations. It was more like a bracha. That food with the animals was more like a blessing. God was giving them a blessing that you should be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. And to us, to Adam, it's more of a command. This is you have a mitzvah to get married and have children. So
for Matan Torah, so there was only seven mitzvahs that Hashem gave.
There might be, we have to look at the Gemara. There could be more mitzvahs that they might have had that they might have lost. But what remains for the Goyim, generally call them seven mitzvahs of Noach. But even though there are other things, it's interesting, if you look at the Rambam says that a Goy is forbidden to be marked an Elon, to graft a tree. That's one of the things that a Goy is not allowed to do. You can't take a branch from an esrog tree and cut the bark of a lemon tree and put in the branch and tie it around. That's called grafting. And an esrog that's grafted, you're not allowed to use an esrog. It has to be built that's grafted. It has to be built in Merkav. It shouldn't be grafted. One of the reasons that some poskim hold that the problem with an esrog that's grafted is because who grafted that esrog? If a Jew grafted, we all know Jews are not allowed to graft. It's prohibited, biblically. And a Gentile, many say that a Gentile is also, the Rambam says a Gentile can't graft. So to do a mitzvah, to fulfill a mitzvah with something that was done, the Aveira, that was created in sin, not appropriate. You can't use that for a mitzvah. So that's why some people say you can't use an esrog that was grafted. Others say because it's a grafted esrog, it's not an esrog. It's a new fruit. It's not an esrog. It's a mix of esrog and lemon. It's a third fruit, so to speak. But this is the idea of there could be other mitzvahs that also apply to God, but they're not counted in the big seven. The big seven are unique, that if a Gentile does not fulfill any of those big seven, they are obligated death. And if a Gentile steals, punishment is death. That's not the punishment for Jewish people. They have a mitzvah to return it. But the Gentiles, that's their punishment. God did not give them too many things to follow. So what he did give them, they got to make sure that they excel. You know, and making sure that they excel very well in all those mitzvahs.
Were the Jews given mitzvahs before Har Sinai?
They were questions. How do you classify the Jews before Har Sinai? You look at them as Bnei Noach, so therefore they're like everybody else. Mm. You know, that's another question. How do you look at it's like Mila? I don't think you were saying Mila. Like Ben was saying, Mila was one of those mitzvahs that were given to Avraham and his family.
And Mara.
And there were certain mitzvahs in the Stavra Mara, Kibbut Av Aim, some other things were the Stavra B'mara, before actually the Torah was given, they were commanded to the Jewish people. He wrote a whole Sefer, I think, Rabbi Adler's son, Rabbi Chanan Adler, from YU, about the mitzvahs that were given him. I think he wrote on that. I don't want to shout something. He wrote something interesting before you. You can look at it. Yeah. Yes.
Where do we know that Puruvu was given to the non-Jews
earlier?
Yes.
Because the pasuk was given to Adam. Adam is not classified as a Jew.
I
see. It was a commandment that was given to him. It's classified as a human being. Just like Noah. We don't classify Noah as a Jew. Noah is not a Jew. The Jews start with Avraham, Ivri. That's really where we recall where we'll start classifying someone as the Jewish title. And that was given, so the Pasuk says, Hashem commanded him to have to be fruitful and multiply. It's a nice Ma'am Lois that says, that Puruvu, also you have to be, everyone has to be Puruvu in Torah, Kedushay Torah. You have to be fruitful and multiply. Many, you know, you should come up with Kedushay Torah and come up with new ideas of Torah, to, of course, based on tradition, of course, and be Mechadish in Torah. That's how we could be also, as a way of being fruitful and multiply. It's another, that's not what the Pasuk means when it says Puruvu, but the Pasuk obviously alludes to everything. There's a lot of things that the Torah alludes to as well. So other, besides the Pshat, there's the Remez, so there's other things that also we have to make sure we're also being Puruvu in Chidushay Torah.
Is the Rav Darim an imperative? Before that, it says that man should have dominion over
the Radu B'dgas Hayam.
By Yerdu, which would also be an imperative. So that would be a mitzvah even before Peru.
Okay, see, very good point. So it would seem that the explanation of, see, what is, when a pasuk is written, what is the meaning of a pasuk? A lot of times a pasuk can be read different ways. We have to know, what is the explanation? There's the Torah Shebiktav, the Torah Shebaalpeh that was given, the oral law that explained what is the meaning of the pasuk. So obviously the reading of you are given the opportunity and the ability to rule over the animals, but it's not, you know, I don't know if it's not counted as a mitzvah of the Torah that you have obligation to rule over the animals. But however, this is counted, it's the explanation of the psukim It's given that that's not given as a, it's like a, we're giving you that right, that ability, and you should know that you, you know, like if you act properly, you will they will fear you. Morachem v'tchitchem, your fear will be on the animals if you do what you're supposed to do. You have those abilities. I'm giving you that. You bring a good point. It's not like there's a some sort of command or something you should rule over. You know, maybe in a certain way you should rule not only in the physical way. Maybe you should be over them and you should act better than them, so to speak. Also, you do with you know, not just that they. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and also today's in the day and age with all the animal things, you know, sometimes people think, who's ruling? Are the animals on top or the men's on top? You know, with all these... Right? Right. So the pasuk is telling us that, you know, we are Yerdubit, we have the Yerdubit, the animals. Okay. So the Chinuch says... When is a person obligated to engage in it? You know, that was all discussed in the different Gemaras, and it's interesting, you should, the Minchas Chinuch says, V'hamagdim, he says, Mana Mitzvah is 18, but Hamagdim, Harisem Meshubach, but you start early in 18, it's very praiseworthy to get married. He recommends getting married at a very early, young age. And we find the Gemaras talk about the difference in if a person gets married at a younger age, you know, is able to, than an older age. It's a big difference, the Gemara talks about. The Gemara praises greatly people who get married at a young age.
I think the Rambam says 16 or 17.
Okay. And interesting, there's another halacha with the Rabbanan, and we'll see. That a person, until he has a boy and a girl, until he has a son and a girl, is obligated to try to have a son and a girl. He's still obligated, because that's the mitzvah, is that until he has a son and a girl, a boy and a girl, he's still obligated in this mitzvah. But once he has a son and a boy and a girl, technically he has fulfilled this mitzvah. But there's an added mitzvah to have more children. And there's also an idea, you know, of course the Rambam means the, he says the Minchas Chinuch brings down a famous statement that even a person can, the mitzvah is a mitzvah d'rabbanan to get married to a lady who's able to have children. Even a person say was married once and he had children in the first marriage, so it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan to get married again because of the pasuk at Techelas. Pasuk says la'erev atana chidecha. So that would be the Rabbanon. And interestingly, Minchas Chinuch says, the question is, Rabbi, you know, what are the things that a person is allowed to go ahead and sell a Sefer Torah for? There are very few things a person can sell a Sefer Torah for. Sefer Torah is like from the highest level of Kedusha. But you can sell a Sefer Torah in order to raise money to get married. In order to get married, if a guy needs money to get married, you can sell a Sefer Torah, also to learn Torah. And so the Minchas Chinuch says that it would that din selling a Sefer Torah is only when he did not fulfill the mitzvah of Purim Hu yet. He didn't have any children yet. If he already had children ready, then he would not have the right to sell a Sefer Torah in order to facilitate another marriage.
The mitzvah d'oraisa or the mitzvah d'rabbanan?
Right, since that's a mitzvah d'rabbanan to have more children once a person already fulfilled the mitzvah, and so that mitzvah d'rabbanan does not supersede the sale of a Sefer Torah. That's what he says. What's also very interesting about this mitzvah is that the commandment, the obligation, is given to men. Ladies aren't commanded to, from a biblical perspective, to get married. Now, obviously, the makeup of a lady, the way God made a lady, is that she should get married. She wants more than the guy. But God, Hashem, did not command her to get married. Which would mean to get married.
Oh, really? To get married?
Get married also on a biblical level. And I could be, I might have once saw a svara that maybe because having children is, you know, there is a danger in having children during childbirth. And so God didn't command the lady to get married. But obviously, obviously, but Hashem wants, at least, so the question is, on a rabbinic level, are women obligated rabbinically to get married or not? So that's another question that's also discussed. You know, there are different opinions, I think, whether a lady is obligated to get married rabbinically. I think you'll see it over here somewhere in the... Someone here in the Minchas Chinuch. Yes.
It says, read in English, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh.
Right.
Why not the other way, that the wife should leave the house of his father and mother, and cleave unto the man?
Is it a question? Let's see the passage for a second. See, the question is, what is the passage referred to when it says a man should leave his father and his mother? So Rashi says that it means...
Doesn't say that the wife has to leave her father. But marriage is when the wife leaves her father and mother, right, and cleaves unto the man. Man leaves his father and mother. Right. But there it's only given to one. I mean, and that's how we learn that only a man is obligated to get married, not the woman. See, you hear what Alan is saying?
Alan is saying that since the obligation is on the man, not the lady, so therefore, the pasuk is saying, stressing the man leaving his parents' house. The man has to go out of his house and get married. The lady, the Torah is not telling her that she has to go out.
So what happens? She
could
say
no. No, she can't say. But I'm saying, but the instruction is given more in focus to the man than to the lady. That's what Alan is saying. Let's see if we can find it in Mitzvah Chinuch a little bit about, 1 second.
Is there a separate mitzvah for a man to get married, separate from having children?
Yes. There's a biblical fulfillment of a mitzvah. The Torah says that when you, see the question, how to understand the Chinuch on it, that when you want to get married, when you want to have a family, you want to fulfill the mitzvah of approval, there's a way to go. The first is you get married. You don't just go ahead and say, you know what, I have a mitzvah to have children, so I'll have children. Like, you know, like there are people in this world that they get married, they have children without marriage. Torah says no. Torah says you have a witz, you have to go ahead. What does the Torah say? You want to, you get married first. And that's the mitzvah of nesuin. If you want to look at the language, if you want to see how the chinuch says that language, there's a mitzvah nesuin beisha, right? What does the chinuch say? Mrs. Kedusha Beisha, Tuf Kuf Nun Beis. The mitzvah goes like this. It says, we're commanded, he calls the mitzvah Kedushin Beisha. That we're commanded to acquire an Isha with one of three ways. Let's see what he says. And the way the Chinuch explains it like this. The Shorshei HaMitzvah, the Torah commands us to do an act with a lady, an act meaning a kinyan, that she becomes your wife before you live with her, before you have relations with her. This is the language. The Torah commands us to do a ma'isa b'isha yore inya zivugam terem yishkavimwa, to show that this is a couple before the guy just, a person shouldn't just have relations with a lady. He has to do something to show that this lady and him, there's a bond, they're connected in some fashion, and he shouldn't live with her like coming on to a zona, like a prostitute, without doing some other action before.
Doesn't the Mishnah say you could do the action before this as one of the things? So three ways.
But that is hariyam kudesh
es me. It's a
kinyan. It's not just he's just. It's done. Yes. It's a. He has witnesses that he's being mekadesh her. It's not just he's just doing an act.
But that's the first thing.
But that's done in a way of a kinyan. He's being mukit makadisha.
And one of the marim would whip people, would have people.
He Rav Manti, Raman the Kadisha V, I think it says. Rav gave Malkas people because it's not a modest thing to do. To makadisha would be. We have to know what the Torah says, but here there's other options. There's three ways to have a kinyan v'nisha. Why should he have to pick that way? It could be also. I understand, but also it could be that as generations got lower and lower, and people did not. It wasn't done with the right intentions. So therefore, as we find by other things, the Gemara said that people weren't by Yibum, and therefore even by Yibum they said not to miyab mehisha with me, right? Because so therefore we see it might not have been done with the right intentions by people. So that's the idea. So even though there's a mitzvah to go ahead and have children. So here we see, before a person should be acting in an act to have children, he's supposed to have a kedushin. He's supposed to get married first. Does that answer your question, Alan? This is Parshas Kitzetze. Ki kikach ish isha is a mitzvah v'ala. The first thing is, you got to go ahead and get married. Yes.
But that's not to say... Or is it to say that if the guy didn't get married, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Peru?
No, he's still at that mitzvah.
Yeah.
But he got the mitzvah of Peru, but he missed out on this mitzvah.
Right.
On the stone, right. There's two mitzvahs.
The stone is a mitzvah deraisa.
See, the question is how to learn Shana. See, the chinuch refers to the idea of Shana Savina to acquire Nisha before Nisuan. We're making a kinyan, but you're getting married. But he talks about the idea of kiddushin. But you'll see in the Hagos and the Minchas Chinuch, he says that from the Chinuch implies the mitzvah is kiddushin. Kiddushin is like the first step when you go ahead and you acquire, you say, with Kesef, Shtar, Rabiv. But the Rambam, at 1 second, because the Mishnah brings Rav Avraham ben Rambam, and the Rambam quotes that the Rambam writes, the Rambam answered Rav Avraham ben Rambam, that in the counting of mitzvos, the Rambam writes the mitzvah is to get married with ksuba and kedushin. Erisin without Nisuan, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, the way that is saying, if a person goes ahead and just does one part, he has Kedushin, he gives the lady a ring, but he doesn't do Nisuan, he doesn't do Chuppah, he didn't finish the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not complete. The mitzvah is a full mitzvah of a full marriage, you know. Kedushin with Chuppah, that's the mitzvah. Okay? That answers that question. Getting back to the Minchas Chinuch is also going to discuss the question of someone is a goy. They had children when they were a goy, and now they converted. What's now? Does that child? Does it count the child that he had when he was a goy? Now he converts and the child converts. Do we say that you could count that as one of his children towards the fulfillment of the mitzvah approval? Yes.
When you convert, aren't you supposed to separate from your previous family? So you don't have a relationship. So a father and son would not be father's son.
But many times if
he has a wife or someone else who then marries the son, that. You're sort of like the marriage that would seem to work.
Right. We say that a gershin is gayer is kikot the shenil adama. We say that a person when they convert is like a newborn child. But there is a concept of a child could convert with his father. They could both convert. Maybe halachically they might have a different status now, because it's like the child is now a new person. But the question is, do we say that they're totally disconnected?
He gives up his family. So if the father converts, then he gives up his children, his wife, and everybody else. When the child converts, he gives up his father, his mother, his brothers.
Okay. They're totally separate, right. But what's interesting to note is that we find that a goy is in the psukim, the pasuk refers to the goy, the child, if someone's a goy, Gentile, and he had, his father is referred to as a Gentile, to is considered a child of that father. For instance, let me explain myself. If someone's Jewish, and he lives with a shiksa, and they have a baby, that child is a goy, and he's not connected at all to that father in halachic sense. Correct? He's not considered miyachesem. We don't give a ziyichus after the father. If the mother's a Gentile, child's a Gentile, and we don't count the kid as a child at all, right? That's why the Minchas Chinuch says if someone has a child from a shiksa, even if the child converts, he's not considered a child in any fashion. That child from a shiksa, which is a big problem today, the mixed marriages today. That child, we don't count them as a child to that father. And however, there's a big chiddush that, in contrast, this is the irony. The irony is that if someone is Jewish and they had a child from a Gentile lady, the child is not connected at all to that father. And therefore, even if the child converts and the father converts, and the father was Jewish, the child converts, he's not credited with that child's existence will not help him in his obligation of having children. Correct? Because that child's mother was a Gentile, and therefore that child is not connected to the father. However, a Gentile marriage, so to speak, when they have a child, the child is called the son of the father. If someone's a Gentile, if someone is Christopher, and their father is Muhammad, right? And so, right? That son is considered, he's referred to as a son of Muhammad.
In a loving sense?
He says it's Miyuchas Acharov, and see, what would I think, Alan, like you're saying in a loving sense? Let's say like this. The question is, let's say regarding inheritance, right? I would think that in a halachic sense, that child, Christopher the son of Muhammad, would inherit the father. But Christopher, whose mother was a shiksa, right? And the father was Jewish, he would not inherit the father. He would not have a right to inherit the father. His father's Avraham. That's one of the sons. His father's Avraham. His mother's a shiksa.
Would Jewish law be relevant where you have, you know, non-Jewish parents having a non-Jewish child? So the son is the son of the father, but Jewish law and inheritance is relevant to that relationship?
I would think if they would ask, what's the law? You know, they didn't create their own law that they all accepted, and they all accepted upon themselves. They wake up one day, they have no law. Let's say they have no law. They didn't create the laws. You know, that's one of their mitzvahs, is to create courts.
In the time of the Sanhedrin, in Eretz Yisrael, the goyim living in the land
lived by the laws of whatever the Jewish law.
Right.
See, so therefore, if the Jewish law says that he's a son, so he would inherit. That's what you're saying.
Supposing you have a Gentile family, and a child converts to Judaism, he has no obligation to give up already.
It would seem on a biblical level he might not have any, but it doesn't mean he still might have certain reasons. It still might be something that he should do. It's something that has to be researched. You know what I'm saying? It might be appropriate, and you know he should have, you know, right.
Halachically,
it would seem like he's like a new person. It's no obligation, but it still should. That's what I would think. I mean, it needs to be looked into. Because again, the statement is a gershon is gayer, a person who converts is like a katan shenoyladam. It's like a new baby born. It seems like it's total new. It's a new entity. Total new entity.
What if the seven
Kerovim
would also convert,
he
couldn't marry them?
But the
Rabbanim
is a problem, right?
Again, you're saying... Originally...
Kerovim would be not able to marry if they were both Jewish. I mean, originally, now that they converted both of them, would he be able to marry his sister or his mother? Or his
I mean, I would think, for sure, rabbinically, he wouldn't be able to marry anybody... But there'll be, I doubt he can't, if it's his mother, right, and he converts, they both,
converses,
what?
I don't know, man, if you're saying it's a
it's still,
not,
but I...
You can't have a cake and eat it. It's either not or if you have two twins, I mean, twins convert. And if they're like, they will
be... But rabbinically,
they cannot
do it.
And then they say they can't even hire because they love it, because they convert to Judaism.
And now they have more allowances. And so rabbinically, they wouldn't be able to do it. If they would be from the same family.
Right.
But biblically, they're new people. They're new people. But it's a new person. It's a total new person.
But not physically.
Okay. But halachically. Halachically, it's a new person.
Genes are genes, you know what I'm trying to say? It's still within the biological chemistry of the person. The biological thing does not change.
Okay, you're a new person. The Torah gave, you're not that person anymore. When Rus became Rus, when she became Giora, she's no more. She's a total new entity.
What marriages is it? Brother and sister.
Forbidden, right? Very serious prohibition.
Now they convert.
Right, so that was the question that Rabbi Blei was asking. So technically, on a biblical level, they're permitted. Because they're two total new people. But rabbinically, they can't do it.
Rabbinically,
they can't do it.
Non-Jewish man and non-Jewish woman are married, and they both decide to convert, do they have to get married according to halakha?
Yes, because if they both convert, then they convert. So now they became Jews. As Jews, you have a mitzvah to get married.
So even if one is Jewish and the other is not Jewish, So, right. They get married, and so, then the other one converts. They would need to...
So I want to say something, Alan. Someone once came to a big rabbi, and he said, you know, this Jewish person married a non-Jew. So the rabbi said, you can't marry a non-Jew. Meaning, the Kedushin is not Tofus. They're not married.
Right.
I mean, technically, people who think that when a Jew marries a non-Jew, they're married, and halacha, they're not married.
Right.
Because you can't create a Kedushin. The Kedushin is not Tofus. The Kedushin, I mean, there are certain people, a Kohen, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, technically, it's not allowed. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, but if he goes ahead and he marries her, he's married. Halachically, he's married. Yes, he's married, the Isur, he's married, he's doing something wrong, but is he married? He's married. But if a Kohen marries a divorcee, a Gerusha.
But he divorces,
this,
he has to give his wife a bill of divorcement?
Halachically, they're, again, very good, Mr. Kleiner. If a Kohen does something wrong, marries a divorcee, he's considered married. How does he separate from her? He has to give her a divorce. That's the only way. That's the way out. We don't want death to be the way out. The only way to be out is he gives her a divorce. He has to give her a get, because he's considered married. But a Gentile and a Jew is never married. They don't need any. There's no need for any. So now, if one of them converts, now they got to get married. Now they got to have. They got to have marriage.
Jew marries a non-Jewish woman.
As we said, he's not married.
Not married. She converts. She's a whole new person. She doesn't have a relationship to her husband anymore.
She's a whole new person.
So if he decides to divorce her, he doesn't have to give her...
Doesn't have to divorce her nothing. He was never married.
Get a secular divorce.
Halacha divorce, but don't get.
I'm trying to.
Right, you're putting it. You're fine tuning. Yeah. There's no marriage that he has to get rid of, because as a Jew and a Gentile, they're not married.
Right. If it's in Chutzlar, it's Dina de Malchus Adina applies probably. Right. So he has to divorce her according to the law of the land, but there's no get required. Right.
I presume if he's officially married to according to the second clause, he has to get, you know, in order for him to marry a Jewish person, he has to free himself. At least he doesn't want to have problems with the court to follow the law of the land. That he he's giving a divorce, but he's giving to a divorce to a lady that's not really, he's not halachically married to her, but he's
no get required.
No get required, exactly. So,
it's like two different yonim.
Right.
Get in the divorce is two different yonim in that case.
There's an interesting halacha when it comes to the mitzvah of puruhu, is that the children that he has, in order for him to say that he fulfilled the mitzvah, those children need to be capable of having children. If those children are not capable of having children, they're not counted towards his fulfillment of his mitzvah. So that's similar to the Rachman of Lutzlan, which if someone had a child and the child passed away, then he might have to start over again in the midst of having children, because that child is not around. And therefore he has to start again. Similarly, if something happens to a child that the child's not able to have children, his obligation, it's like an interesting thing, there could be a time that he's potter, like, you know, you have the mitzvah matzah, right? It's on Pesach, you know, after Pesach, there's no mitzvah matzah. So you could have the mitzvah to have children, then at a certain point he fulfilled the mitzvah. He could say to God, God, I did the mitzvah. And then at a certain point, the mitzvah might come back. The obligation might come back to him. So,
man's married, in their old age, she can no longer have children. The child, offspring, is not pregnant. So what do they do?
Okay, that's a very... So you're asking, I want to take your question even further, Mr. Klein. Two people are married. for a number of years, let's say 10 years, which we found by Abraham, 10 years was like the time you imagine 10 years. 10 years, especially 10 years in Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't have children, and then he gets up another, he took Hagar. Do we say, you know, there is an idea out there that if a person's married for a number of years and they don't have children, that they should divorce and be able to have children? Because they're married for 10 years. But you'll notice that there are many great people. The Chazon Ish was a more very well known, among others, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They didn't have any children. They didn't get divorced.
The Sapper Rebbe was his children. War.
Something. So it seems that there's a major discussion. But from a halachic, if you look at it from a halachic perspective, hey, he has a mitzvah to have children. Now, he didn't have children. So on the other hand, you could say, listen, but he's fulfilling the question. The other question is, what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the act of attempting to have the children? Is that the fulfillment of the mitzvah? So yeah, he didn't have children, but he's doing the mitzvah. He's doing what he can. Or, you know, do you look at, you know, the children as the mitzvah? But he doesn't have the children. He didn't have the children.
Well, that's the children has to be part of it because you need a boy and a girl.
Right.
So it's not enough to try.
Right, so but it could be, so maybe the point is, you could look at it that the fact that once he has the boy and the girl, he doesn't have to, his obligation of doing is finished. But the obligation, the mitzvah, is to be the act of trying. But he has the obligation to try. It's up to the point that he has the boy and the girl. Right? You can look at it like that, no? That makes sense. So,
we live in an extreme case. They have, let's say, husband and wife have seven daughters. They have an obligation to try again.
Right.
If they run out of premise, what do they do? The seventh child,
Okay, so there are rules about how much a person has to spend in order to do a certain mitzvah. You know, we say a person should spend, let's say 10% of his, you know, what he has in order to fulfill a mitzvah. We say not more than a fifth. Not more than 20%, there's such a consensus. I wonder if that would play a role in this question. You know, he has to be honest with himself. How much will it cost? How much, you know, a lot of people think that they can't afford having the children, but really, if they'll look into what they're spending money on. And on all their vacations and all everything else, that's not that, you know, he said, I have enough, if he has enough money for all those other things, he has to be honest with himself and say, is it really that he doesn't have the money for that child, or is it because he wants to live a lifestyle that based on the lifestyle that he wants to live, it's not gonna fit in to have that to try it. So that's the honesty. And then if after the end of the day, he sees, then he has to discuss it with the halachic authority and to see what's there to do. It's a halachic question. It's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. It's one of the big mitzvahs. We call it a mitzvah rabbah. The Gemara calls it. So it would seem like, it's a very good question. But you should know that a lot of people, you know, even though they might...
And financially, by the way.
But a lot of people will say at the end of the day, maybe it was worth it to struggle. You know.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the
chiyuv. Right, about the chiyuv. Right.
The whole reality.
Right.
the finish.
He answers a very interesting question regarding mitzvah bo b'aveira. If a guy went ahead, and he did a sin, and he lived with a married lady, and they had a child. That's a very serious offense. And he committed adultery. He had a child. That child is his child. Right? She's a married lady. Right? And that child is his child. Right? The child is his child.
Wait a minute. He's
not Jewish. No. He lived with a Jewish married lady. A Jewish married woman who also did transgress a very big sin. Terrible sin. And he's one of the big three. The person has to give his life than to live with a married... The guy takes a gun to a guy's head and said, either you live with her, with a married lady, or we'll kill you. You say, the guy has to let his life be killed if he live with a married lady. Because that's one of Yehari Valyava.
It's not like a Kohen that married a divorcee.
It's a much different level. Different Madrega. It's a different level. No, the marriage, it never
no
took,
marriage.
There's no marriage, the Kedushin is not Tofes, it's Chayve Misa. The Kedushin can't be, if a guy wants to go to marry his sister. The guy can't marry his sister, he gives him a ring, it doesn't take effect. Marriage between, there's such a high level Isser, in Kedushin Tofes, but Chayve Krisos. Kedushin is not Tofes, it doesn't take effect. But here the question is, this kid, who was born out of such an improper union, this kid is considered the guy's son.
The mamzer.
Call him a mamzer. The mamzer is considered the guy's son. And not only that, it would seem some Rishonim would hold the guy, even if it was done the Isser, meaning some Rishonim would hold that if he could count his child that was born in this improper union, part of the children towards the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Meaning he had a mitzvah to have a boy and a girl. He only had a girl. And then he went ahead and he had an improper relationship, which is terrible. But he had a girl. Now he had a boy and a girl. Say, Rabbi, am I obligated to have any more children? So you say, you're not obligated to have any more children, biblically. So the question is, what do you mean? But that was born out of a union of sin. So it's a mitzvah that came through a wife. Through an Aveira. There's not going to be, technically you don't have to have Kedushin, you don't have to fill the mitzvah of having children, that you fill the, so do you, how could you fulfill the mitzvah through a union which was improper, which is sinful? So he says, a beautiful idea. He brings from the Shar HaMelech, the mitzvah of Aveira. When is something called, when do we look at a mitzvah that comes through an Aveira that it's not counted either, it's not counted as a mitzvah? See, the question is, a mitzvah that's done through an Aveira, it's not, we say, it's not called a mitzvah. Is that biblically not a mitzvah? Rabbinically it's not a mitzvah? What, that's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Whether if a mitzvah that's done through an Aveira, is it invalid on a biblical level, it's called invalid, or it's rabbinically invalid? Let's say you stole an esrog. Right? And you go there and you took the esrog, stolen esrog. Do you say, hey, you stole the esrog, but you shook the esrog, so min haTorah maybe you count it as a mitzvah, abundance, you didn't do any, you don't count? But let's say the day that you don't own it, you don't need to own it, let's say. And the day, let's say the second day of Pesach, so third day of service. So would you say that you fulfilled the mitzvah on a biblical level, but rabbinically it's not counted, or even biblically it's not counted. So that's a question in the Rishonim. But here, how could you say he fulfilled the mitzvah, that even rabbinically he fulfilled the mitzvah, if it was done by Isser, it was a mitzvah bo b'aveira? So he wants to say, when is it called a mitzvah bo b'aveira? If the mitzvah, you perform a mitzvah, at the time you're doing the mitzvah, an aveira is being done. Simultaneously. You go ahead, and let's say the case is, if the esrog that's stolen, when you take an esrog that's stolen, the second you're taking that esrog that's stolen, we have a policeman, he's going to enforce the law if anyone steals an esrog. An esrog that's stolen, asher that's stolen, when you take the shake that asher, at that time you're shaking, you're doing an aveira. Why? Because you have a mitzvah to return that asher. So the same time, the second that you're doing the mitzvah, you're doing an aveira, because you're still stealing. You're transgressing the prohibition of, you have a mitzvah obligation to return it, and you're not doing that. That's called a mitzvah that's coming through an aveira. But if the aveira happened, he lived with the lady. He lived with the married lady, and he wasn't his wife. So the aveira was done. Now he has the child. The child was born later. So the child, the birth of the child is not happening simultaneously with the sin. The sin was done 9 months ago. The child was born 9 months later. So since it's not being done simultaneously, the sin and the fulfillment of the mitzvah of having the children, so that's not counted as a mitzvah that comes from an avera, and therefore technically that child can be counted towards the boy and the girl that he needs to have in order to fulfill the mitzvah of perusal. That's
said earlier that the trying to have a child is the mitzvah.
So that's the question. Is it the trying? Is it trying to have a child? Do we look at the trying to have a child as the mitzvah? Or is it trying to have a child is the hechsher mitzvah, is the preparation for the mitzvah? So the minchas chinuch is of the opinion that trying to have the child is more the preparation. The mitzvah is more having the child. Others will say, no, the trying the child is the mitzvah itself.
So then, if trying to have a child is the mitzvah, then the mitzvah not varies at the same time.
Right.
Exactly.
The mitzvah goes the other way. That the trying to have the child is the preparation for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is having the child. And therefore, if he's 9 months early, they try to have a child. 9 months later, so the sin was done because she was married later to someone else. The sin, the aveira, was done 9 months before. The mitzvah is being performed, now he has a child. Therefore, they could count the child.
The creation of the child was born when the aveira takes place.
No, the aveira, the mitzvah takes place. The aveira took place when he lived with her, at the time he... Right, exactly. And that's what he wants to say. Okay, so this is something we have to look into more. How does it work? So it could be also the question of an esrog, if it's esrog that's grafted, right? So there's a question. We say we're not allowed to use an esrog that's grafted. Bilti morkav, it can't be grafted, right? Some say that the isser of an esrog that's grafted, it's an isser, even if a good, not only a Jew is not allowed to graft, a Gentile is not allowed to graft, right? So that's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam says a Gentile can't cut a branch from an esrog tree and put it into a lemon tree and tie it together. The Rambam says you can't do that. Correct? So the question was, when the esrog was created and you want to go ahead and you want to be Yotze the mitzvah of esrog with such a grafted esrog, would you call that a mitzvah that came through a sin? But the sin was the grafting, the mitzvah I'm doing now. So according to this idea, it's not called the mitzvah of aveira. Because the aveira was done when he grafted the trees, when he mixed the kalayim, when he mixed it together. The mitzvah is being done when the fruit was created many times later. So that's not called the mitzvah of aveira. According to that, it's not called the mitzvah of aveira, the using the esrog. According to that svara, it wouldn't have that problem. It could have that problem with mitzvah of aveira. It could have other problems. It can have problems of that maybe an esrog that's grafted is not an esrog. It's a new thing. You took a lemon and an esrog, and now you made it. And now it's a new species. It's not an esrog. That's why people are paying a lot of money for a good esrog to make sure, but it's not grafted. Yes.
His opinion is that the mitzvah of Bar Rivera has to
come through
the
Mitzvah.
That's the Shah HaMelech. Okay, thank you.
The mitzvah kind of brings down that idea. Okay, so next week, we're at 9 o'clock or at what time are we on next week?